Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast again. Thank you for tuning in. And as you've tuned in, please pray for us. Pray that God would give us a ready turn of thought and liberty to share with you the glorious mysteries of salvation by the sovereign grace of God. And pray that your hearts and mind be strengthened as we come together around the pages of God's holy word. I want to read to you a few passages of scripture today, so I trust that you'll be patient with us as we share God's word. Now you, I trust, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been saved by his grace. You're washed in his blood, robed in his righteousness. You honor him. But as you make your pilgrimage through this dark wilderness in which we live, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes you found that it appears that God isn't there. It appears that he's withdrawn the presence of his Spirit. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you've ever experienced this, then listen in this morning a little more carefully. When God is not there. In Exodus chapter 14, there's a passage of scripture that shares with us an instant in the experience of the nation of Israel when it seemed that God was not there. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, as they approached the edge of the wilderness, the Lord gave them a visible token of his abiding presence. And it was in that token that he gave them of his presence that he would lead and protect them throughout their 40-year sojourn in the wilderness. In Exodus 13, we read that they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light and to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. There it is, the manifest presence of God, as he's leading them through the wilderness journey. They saw in the sky above them a pillar of cloud. At night it became a pillar of fire. And this was not something that looked like a cloud during the day and looked like a column of fire at night, something that appeared to be guiding and protecting them. This was a supernatural thing. God gave it, and it never departed from his chosen. So long as they walked through the wilderness. But as great as this symbol was, the reality of this symbol was greater. That pillar that protected them and led them was not just a symbol of the presence of God, it was the Lord in their midst. Exodus 14:19 says, it was the angel of God, their Savior, who had long before sworn, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The psalmist David underscores the fact that this was God in his manifest presence in this pillar and cloud of fire. The psalmist David said in Psalm 99 that God spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. That is, wherever the cloud went, Israel followed. It was their constant companion, their conductor, lest they go astray. Now, the cloud was like a huge umbrella covering the whole of the congregation, protecting them from the burning heat of the desert by day. And at night, it was a clear, bright, and shining light. The children of Israel could as easily march through the wilderness at night as they could during the day. And so they could sing, as did the psalmist David, "The Lord God is a sun and a shield." They experienced the fulfillment of the promise given many years later. "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night," because of the presence of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. It was an incredible symbol of God's presence, and it was a great joy and comfort to them. It must have been an incredibly glorious sight. Every man, woman, child in Israel, over a million, could see it hovering above them as the constant, abiding banner of God's love, His care for them. And Moses declares, "He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." And my point is just this, and I want you to see it and understand it. The Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, is always with us. He's promised, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." In the night of sorrow and the joy of day, He's with us. But we don't always perceive His presence. We don't always enjoy it. He never leaves us. But we think sometimes that He has. The sun always shines. But when the earth turns or the clouds gather in the sky, we can't see the shining sun. And sometimes He who is the glory of Israel removes that manifestation of His presence and stands, as it were, behind us and not before us. And we become greatly troubled because of what we perceive to be His absence. And that's what I want to speak to you about, when God isn't there. Then we cry as Job did, "Oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat." But even when the Lord seems to have utterly forsaken us, you remember this: He is with us, fighting for us, saving us, doing us good. And that's the message that I want to share in Exodus 14, 19, and 20. Listen to what Moses said. "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel," that is, the Lord Jesus Christ, "removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these," that is, the children of Israel, "so that the one came not near the other all night long." Now, there are a couple of passages as we notice that the Word of God says that the Lord removed and went behind them. In Isaiah 52, in verse 12, this is what He says to His children in their pilgrimage. In our journey, this is what He's telling us about how we're to journey. He said, "Don't go out with haste." That means don't get panicky, nor go out by flight. Listen to this: "For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward." That word "re-reward" is rearward. It means rear guard, rear guard, or towards the rear. The Lord God of Israel is sometimes out of sight because He is our rear guard. He's behind us, but he's still the Lord God of Israel who's fighting for us. Notice again in Isaiah, this time in Isaiah 58, Isaiah says, Then shall the light break forth as the morning. Speaking to the children of Israel, he said, Thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward, or the rear guard. And then he says in verse 9, When the Lord is our rear guard, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer and shall cry, and he shall say, Here am I. Verse 11, And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and not a spring of water, whose waters fail not. That's what happens when the Lord goes behind us, and then when it's necessary, and we cry out to him, then we hear the voice behind us, as Isaiah said, Oh, I'm here. I'm just behind you now because the enemy has come from behind. I've come to the rear guard. You'll be okay. I'm going to guide you continually. I'm going to satisfy your soul and draw it. You're going to be like a watered garden. You're going to be supplied. Listen, I know as a child of God, the Lord's manifest presence is our great joy. Several weeks ago, we had 4 days of uninterrupted manifest presence of God at the Florida Fellowship meeting at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. Meeting after meeting from Thursday night till Sunday morning, we had the manifest presence of God. It was our great joy. But as we left that meeting, went back out into the world to serve the Lord, no doubt since then, there have been many that were at that meeting that have wondered since then, Lord, where have you gone? I felt you so strong in the worship of the saints. His presence is our great joy, but his absence is our misery. And let me say this, if God smiles and I can feel his smile, no one can make me miserable. But when he hides his smiling face, I find joy very hard. Still, though we don't see in our lives that cloud by day and we don't see the flame by night, God our Savior is still with us, fighting for us and saving us. He promised. He said, My kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy upon thee. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, I will condemn it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. God is with us. The Lord of hosts is on our side. But let me say, for just a few moments, make these points. Sometimes our dear Savior mysteriously removes his presence from before us. Remember what he said in verse 19 of Exodus 14. Moses tells us, The angel of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was with them, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. Think about that. They were used to seeing him out in front, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. And now the visible, comforting, assuring symbol of God's presence was removed from before Israel. Just as the fearful Israelites at this place could feel the hot breath of Pharaoh's chariots breathing down on their necks. From the day they had entered the desert out of Egypt, they had seen the fiery and cloudy pillar before them. Now suddenly, The manifestation of God's presence is gone, and they know that the enemy is behind them. Pharaoh has pursued them out of Egypt, and they can feel and sense the chariots, but they can't feel and sense their God. Have you ever experienced that in your life? You can feel and sense your enemies. You can see them round about you, but you can't feel and sense the presence of your God. And as they obeyed God's command to go forward, as they neared the raging sea, the children of Israel, they looked forward and they saw nothing in front of them. They couldn't see God. They were obeying God when this happened. I want to make that point. God had sent them out of Egypt. He had sent them into the desert, leading them toward the Red Sea. They were obeying His command, and God removed His presence from before them and went behind where they couldn't perceive Him. They were obeying God when that happened. Now listen, it's going to be that way with us at times. Sometimes the Lord our God hides Himself from us, takes away His manifest presence, and refuses to show Himself to us. Sometimes, as we walk in the light of God's countenance, enjoying sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoying the consolation of the Spirit, suddenly we look up and we see nothing but darkness before us. And like the little handmaiden, the beloved spouse in Solomon's song, we cry out, "I sought Him, but I found Him not." Everything seems so bright and cheerful. We expected to go on from strength to strength, from victory to victory, until we come to the mountain of God itself in heaven and dwell forever in His rest. And then all of the sudden darkness, nothing but darkness. And then nothing seems sure. Fears come upon us. And we cry as Job, "Oh, that I knew where I might find Him." God's promise seems to falter and fall. Our circumstances in life seem to contradict the promises of God. So our hearts sink with fear and we cry out, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And then we in our weakness, has this ever happened to you, we begin to call into question the very Word of God, which at one time was our source of hope. And we said, as the psalmist David, "This God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide unto death." And then He withdraws Himself from before us. And then we begin to think, as David cried out, "Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail?" And as David said in the Psalm of the Cross in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, and thou hearest me not. Do you know what I'm talking about? I know that some of you do. Let me say, the trouble may be caused by outward trials. It may be caused by some of our personal faults or inward corruption. That was David's case when he kept silence and refused to confess his sin. You try to read God's word, but it's empty, and you try to pray, and the heavens are brass over your head. You come to hear the word from heaven in church and to listen to the preacher, but it's only the sound of a man's voice. There's no light, but only thick darkness round about you. So what do you do in those circumstances? Whether it is God has sovereignly determined that for a season it's necessary for Him to remove and go behind you, or if it's that your sins have separated between you and your God, what do you do? The very worst thing that you can do is what we're prone to do. Don't turn your eyes within. Look out of yourself. Don't Don't look to yourself for the answers. Look to God on his throne. That's what he tells us to do in Isaiah. He said in Isaiah 50, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walk in darkness and hath no light?" Isaiah said, "Is there any child of God that's walking in darkness right now and hath no light?" What do we do, Isaiah? He said, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Think of him. The Israelites in Exodus 14, when God removed from in front of them the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, the Israelites in Exodus 14 were in a time of dark necessity. There was never a place that they had needed more the light of God's presence. Just at the time of their greatest need, he removed himself and went behind them. Why? They must have thought, "The Lord has forsaken us to punish us for our murmuring and unbelief." But that was not the case. Oh, my friends, it was intended to do them good, to teach them patience, to prove their faith, to destroy their self-confidence, to force them to seek him, to force them to desire him. And let me say, with all of those other things, it'll also make us more sympathetic and understanding toward others that walk in darkness. When the cloudy and fiery pillar removed from before the children of Israel went behind them, it was because it was most needed behind them. And so it is with us. When the Lord removes his manifest presence, there's always a need for it. When the Lord hides himself for a moment, it's often to make us value him more. And so we find the little maiden again in the Song of Solomon. And that's the listen, there's a common thread in the Song of Solomon, the song of the bride and the husband. There's a common thread that runs throughout this psalm, and it's the bride is constantly seeking the presence of her husband. And so we see in the fourth chapter of the Song of Songs, the bride cries this, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." The bride desires the presence of the bridegroom. The wife wants the fellowship of her husband. She desires the manifestation of love. And how wonderful it is whenever the husband, the bridegroom, says, "I'm coming to my garden, my spouse, I've gathered my myrrh and my spice, I've drunk my wine with my milk." All these are symbols of fellowship. Oh, friends, drink. Drink abundantly, beloved. It's feasting. It's fellowship. It's a time of delight when our bridegroom, when our Lord, when our Savior manifests himself. But when he's not there, the bride says that she went about the city seeking him. She said, "I sought him, but I could not find him. I called to him, but he gave me no answer. I went about the city, and the watchmen found me, and they smote me, they wounded me." And she said, "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him that I am sick for love." She was willing to expose herself to danger, to the dangers of the night, to be roughly treated by others in the attempt to find the presence of her husband, of her Lord, of her love. She was passionate about it. Oh God, that we would be passionate, that we would seek him, that that would be our desire in life, to be found in him. Now, notice something else here. I've already hinted at it. Though the pillar of cloud, though it was not seen, though the pillar of fire was not seen, although it seemed removed from before them, it was still with them. Remember what he said, the angel of the Lord, but he removed and went behind them. He was just as much with them when he was in the rear as he was when he went before them. Though it appeared that the Lord had utterly forsaken them, he was fighting for them. The sun may have been hidden from their eyes, but he was still their shield behind. The glory of the Lord, as Isaiah said, was their reward, their rear guard. Listen to me, child of God. The Lord's with you still. If you feel like that you can't find him and that you're empty right now and you don't know where he is and you can see and feel your enemies and those that would come against your soul and disturb the peace of your heart and mind, remember the Lord is with you still. He's fighting for you. Even when you can't see him, he's still your salvation. He's still saving you. The Lord's presence is not determined by your awareness of it. When you're crying after him, those very sighs and cries after him are the fruit of his secret presence with you. It may be, and I suspect that it's a fact, that he's really more near. I think I've experienced this. That he's really more near to me when I feel my brokenness and my emptiness than when I imagine at times that everything's well and all is okay. Because it's he that's causing me to feel my need of him in my emptiness. It's the Spirit of God that's leading me back to him when our hearts are breaking for him. It's when we're at ease in Zion that probably we're the furthest away. Not when we're panting after him as the heart pants after water brooks. But notice what he says. Well, how about we begin there next time in verse 19 as we conclude our thoughts. The Lord is with us more than we can ever imagine. May the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.